The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
All the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So Jesus told them this parable. There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the share of the property that will belong to me." So he divided his property between them. A few days later, the younger son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant country. And there he squandered his property in dissolute living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. He would gladly have himself have filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough and to spare, but here I am dying of hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.'" So he set off and went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arm around him and kissed him. Then the son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his slaves, "Quickly bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet, and get the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to celebrate. Now his elder son was in the field. And when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the slaves and asked what was going on. He replied, "Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has got him back safe and sound." Then he became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him, but he answered his father, "Listen, for all these years I've been working like a slave for you, and I've never disobeyed your command, yet you have never given me even a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends." But when this son of yours came back, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him." Then the father said to him, "Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise Let us pray. God, we have been lost, and we have been found. We have been in need of forgiveness. We have forgiven. We have withheld forgiveness. And in all of these places, you are with us. Open our eyes, our ears, our hearts, our minds to experience your word to us this morning in Scripture, that we may live it in our lives. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. The parable of the prodigal son is among the best known of Jesus's parables. The younger son approaches the father and asks for his inheritance now, up front. In essence, he's saying, I kinda wish that you would go ahead and die so I could have my cash. The father agrees to this demand and gives him half of everything he owns. The son takes off and has a marvelous time squandering everything, every penny of his father's inheritance. Then famine hits the land and he tries to make do, but eventually returns to his father's house, asking just to work as a hired hand. The father welcomes him with great rejoicing, kills the fatted calf, throws a party. The older brother, who has done everything he was supposed to do, as the younger brother was out there having some kind of extended spring break extravaganza, is more than a little annoyed at all the attention his younger brother is receiving and stays outside when the party gets going. The father goes out to the older son and asks him to join in the celebration, and the son tells his father exactly what he thinks about the whole occasion. And by the time the story ends, we don't know whether he ever goes in. We're left to wonder. One of the reasons this parable is so well known, is so beloved, is for its ability to open up new possibilities for relating to the story by imagining ourselves in various characters of the parable. Are we the son, the younger son, wandering away from the path set out for us, squandering what we have been given, seeking forgiveness? Are we the father, mourning the loss of one gone astray, waiting with open arms to embrace them upon their return? Are we the older brother, the one who never strayed? And there are different times in our lives when different characters speak to us. For much of my earlier life, I saw myself in the character of the older brother. Not because I never made mistakes or needed forgiveness, and certainly not because I never had to forgive anyone, but in my youth, when things were complicated with my family, I felt an unspoken pressure that it was my responsibility to keep my head down and keep doing everything right. It felt sometimes like the weight of the world was on my shoulders. And if I'm really honest, there were times that I resented those for whom life seemed easy. When writer Caroline Lewis examines the figure of the older brother in her gospel commentary this week, she notes his resistance to joining into the celebration, and she wonders just what it was that kept him from embracing joy in that moment. I have to say, I've never wondered what it was that makes joy and celebration hard for him. I've found it hard at times too. And that's not despite wanting to join in. But for me, and I imagine for this older brother, when it felt like I had to be the one to hold everything together, joy felt dangerous. It felt risky. That if I set down the worry and the stress, even for just a moment, everything would unravel. Now, I couldn't have explained any of this to you at the time, because it didn't feel like a problem. It felt like a rational reaction to the reality that I had known. But it's much clearer to me now, with time, good therapy, and meds, that this fear was getting in the way of life lived to its fullness. I had to relearn how to experience joy by figuring out what was keeping me from experiencing it. There are things that stand to keep all of us from joy. For some, it's feeling like no success is ever enough, that there's always more that could be done or achieved, or a scarcity mindset that you don't have enough, that if you just had a little more, you could be happy. For others, it's fear of the future and the unknown challenges that it might hold, or regrets about the past, guilt or shame. For others, it's envy of what others have. This may have been at work with the older brother, too. But as Teddy Roosevelt is said to have asserted, comparison is the thief of joy. For others, it's rage and the inability to forgive. We talked about that a couple weeks ago. For some, it's the crushing expectations of others. This theme even shows up in the popular Disney movie Encanto. In the song that the character Luisa sings called Surface Pressure, under the surface, I'm pretty sure I'm worthless. If I can't be of service, who am I if I can't carry it all? But she has a moment in which she imagines something different for herself and sings, but wait, what if I could shake the crushing weight of expectations? Would that free some room up for joy or relaxation or simple pleasure? Come on, people, you knew Encanto was going to show up in a sermon one of these days. There are so many things that stand in the way of joy. And for some, it's all or any of these things that then get intermingled with illness or mental health challenges or grief. These obstacles are real. And it's some of these obstacles that Jesus is actually addressing when he told this parable in the first place. The story of the prodigal son is told in response to the Pharisees grumbling about Jesus dining with tax collectors and sinners. The way the older brother in the story grumbles about the welcome and generosity shown to the younger brother who had gone astray. Why do they struggle to rejoice at tax collectors and sinners finding community? The Pharisees had followed all the rules that had been set out for them by none other than God through Moses and the wider precepts of the law. They were doing the things they were supposed to be doing. And yet they see Jesus welcoming and proclaiming forgiveness to the people who had followed none of the rules. Same thing with the brother in the story, right? The Pharisees' envy or frustration or judgment stands in the way of them saying yes, of sharing in the joy that is available to them too. not just to the tax collectors and sinners and younger brothers, but to them as well. To each of us, the invitation is the same. Set down those things that you are carrying that stand in the way of joy. For Jesus says, I came that you might have life and might have it abundantly. Abundant life, joy. This is what awaits us if we clear out those things that are getting in the way. In some cases, that will mean working through some things, working toward healing of some kind. In other cases, the things that stand in the way are not things that can be changed and so require a new question. How can I experience joy, flourishing, abundance in this reality in which I find myself now? This is some serenity prayer level work, knowing what we can and cannot change, yet making space for joy in the midst of it all. It's not easy work. And things like therapy and medication, support groups, medical interventions, hear me clearly, these are not contrary to the spiritual work, but God-given tools to help us along the way. And I want you to know, especially if finding joy feels impossible, that number one, you're not alone. And number two, there's a twist here. Because even if you can't experience joy within you right now, that capacity, it's already within you. It's a gift of the Holy Spirit, sealed at baptism, yours, not to have to discover or find out there somewhere, but already within you. That capacity is there, waiting to be excavated and revealed. The hope of experiencing joy is never lost. It is always there, waiting for you. We remind ourselves of this on this fourth Sunday of Lent. Letere Sunday, the Latin word for rejoice, an invitation to remember joy, even in the midst of a penitential season of Lent, so that when the day of resurrection arrives in a few short weeks, we are ready to open ourselves to the joy of resurrection. Abundant joy, joy overflowing. Amen.